Blog Talk Radio.
It is one of those mornings. I don't know where Ginger, are you there? Did you go? Did you go away?
Can you hear me?
There you are.
All right. Awesome.
Where did you go?
I hit a button on my new headset and apparently it muted it. I'm talented, but at least I think I know how to mute myself now.
Indeed you are.
Yay! So it's Friday. Oh my God.
Finally. Look, like we had such a long week, man.
It's always so tired when you have to get back into the groove, you know? Oh, I mean, I love it. I love it, don't get me wrong. I love it. Absolutely love it.
All right, then. We may have dropped.
You're always so tired.
Oh, no, there we are. We're done. We didn't drop.
Why, Firefox, aren't you Twitter sign in?
I don't know what's going on with these browsers. We need somebody. Opera, where are you?
I don't need to fix this. There we go. I was trying to, like, tweet the show and whatnot.
Chrome is having some issues. I think Google's getting a little too big for their panties or something. I don't know what's going on. We keep cutting out. Am I cutting out to you?
Well, you sound a little bit warbly off.
Yeah.
Come on to me. Which I know that's like a strange word, warbly.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Warbly.
Yeah, but the only way... It's almost like you're talking through water. It's all like...
Yeah, that's
know.
Because...
It's odd. It's very, very strange.
That's because Chrome is crashing all of its Shockwave plugins. So, yay,
Chrome. You're so failed. Google, I love you. I really do. But come on.
I'm trying to figure out what is the purpose.
Hmm.
So, and there, as I was telling Ginger before the show, there's like 50 million Chrome windows open, and I have like one website open, and that's our Blog Talk Radio. Makes no sense.
I know. It's a little strange. Why I switched back to Firefox recently, because I couldn't take it anymore. I was like, this is just ridiculous.
They're almost getting to be as bad as Internet Explorer at this rate. You guys are crossing into Internet Explorer territory. Seriously.
Well, you know, I've had several of my friends tell me recently that Internet Explorer has gotten much better. I just haven't crossed over to the dark side to check it out yet.
Maybe at this rate, I may have to go back because Chrome is not doing well.
I know. It's ridiculous. All right, well, I guess I kind of want some stories, and I got a cool one I want to start with. I think this is kind of neat.
What you got?
GamePolitics.com has a story up. World of Warcraft players make great employees, claims a researcher. That's awesome. In a video for Knowledge Forum, Big Think, researcher John Seeley Brown explains why World of Warcraft players are ideal employees for businesses. In his video, he explains why playing an online game and being part of a team might be more important than getting an MBA at Harvard. Ha! Take that, Harvard! I would rather hire a high-level World of Warcraft player than an MBA... I would rather hire a high-level World of Warcraft player than an MBA from Harvard. Why is the game... A massive multiplayer game that has maybe 12 million people or more playing it, like World of Warcraft, so important at both the individual level and maybe at the corporate level. To understand these massive multiplayer games like World of Warcraft, do not think about it as just gameplay, but look at the social life on the edge of the game. All right, so there is a YouTube video, and I'm going to tweet it, and you should really, really watch it.
all about teamwork.
Yeah, and anybody who ever argues with you again about you playing video games, I want you to take this. I want you to, like, totally smear it in their face, okay?
Okay, you need to be specific about what you say, smear it into the face, because you know some of the people we know, they will do some horrible things.
Okay, well, you know, just give it to them. Give it to them and tell them, educate yourself. This is amazing. I know I've been contacted for a couple of jobs, a couple of jobs from a resume that I put up on Monster.com that talks about my gaming experience. So there's definitely something to this, folks.
And I usually try to leave that stuff off because, you know, you never know who's reading it. So I think it depends on where you are. Obviously, if you're going to be on McBurgers, they may or may not want to know if you play World of Warcraft. They may want to know if you like Diner Dash.
Well, I was looking for, like, an IT job and stuff like that.
And field and stuff, good places. But certain places, you know, libraries, they're probably not going to want you.
Mm-mm.
Unless you play Library Dash. And I think there is a Library Dash. I'm making a joke, but I really think there is one.
Library Dash.
Well, there is more controversy on the horizon about the state of games journalism, which, you know, we're kind of sort of journalists here. We like to fancy ourselves journalists. But Mr. Peter Schneider over at IGN, we very rarely say their names, but, we're going to throw his name in there. And Red Robot Labs' John Davison is discussing a paid content over at GI International and video game growth and tracking new audiences and how we're at the end of a generation. Basically, they're saying that they don't think that that the video game journalism has adapted fast enough to the changes in the video game industry. He says, for example, how do you properly cover mobile gaming or the free-to-play markets, not for the industry or super users who follow business trends, but for the consumers that actually play them. He says also there's a reduction in the overall title breadth in the console space in favor of even bigger AAA game player audiences, and this is necessitated for them a shift in how they cover games. They said they've always dedicated time to create post-release content, but they've put even more emphasis on developing this part of their network in the last year, blah, 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 blah. Basically, it's an interesting article if you are a journalist, and probably for those of you who just, you know, you want to see what exactly have they done. I haven't seen anybody really do any shifting except for us. We kind of try to adapt, mostly because we have such a personal relationship with the developers we do deal with. So usually if they don't like something, within reason, Donna Roar, we try to come up with new things.
Your game was not a memory game. Not. It was a put the pieces in a certain order until it fits game.
So anyway, very interesting article about, you know, the shift in journalism. And of course we've had the controversies, people lying, making up interviews. There are certain rules people you're supposed to follow when you're a games journalist, and one of them is fact checking. Now, you can gossip, which is what we do here. We kind of have a gossipy style. We share some good news with you. All of our stuff is truth as far as we know, but most of the time.
And, you know, we take it back if it's not.
Yeah, we make sure we tell you, but mostly we like to gossip, and we have our say. We're kind of, what do you call ours, news commentary? Is that what we kind of fall under?
maybe. That could be it.
We're kind of news commentary, so.
Right. And I'm kind of adjusting my mic here, so forgive me if it's a little crazy. Well, like, it was bent, and, like, every time I turned my head, it would, like, brush against my shoulder, and I was like, no, that can't sound good.
All right, so now, as I was talking about, and this is that was a short one, so I'm going to jump into this one.
Okay.
The issues with Google, it may not be, anyway, Google apparently,
can't make a browser that works correctly?
Yeah. Well, on Christmas Eve, they discovered they had an unauthorized digital certificate for the Google.com domain name. And that means someone was pretending to be Google. If you don't know what that means, Google was able to follow the falsified certificate back to TurkTrust, which is an organization that issues digital certificates in Turkey. Digital certificates show you and the website you're accessing that you can trust each other. You're friends. Let's shake hands and kiss on the mouth. Okay. So when you access Google, you're supposed to know it's Google. And if your certificate is fake, you may not know what you're accessing. So, of course, after Google got in touch with a certificate company and realized that it had wrongly given out two intermediate certificate authorities in August of 2011, people.
Wow, so this is a while ago.
Yeah, they explained it in the blog post that intermediate CA certificates carry the full authority of CA, so anyone who has one can use it to create a certificate for any website they wish to impersonate. And because of this, both Google Chrome's browser and now Mozilla Firefox will no longer trust certificates from Turk Trust. It's not their fault. You should have caught it a long time ago.
You should have.
Microsoft has also followed suit and gone so far as to identify the two organizations that receive the intermediate certificate authorities. They are .ego, .gov, .tr, and .eislam, and that's Islam, I-S-L-E-M, dot KKTC, it's a long name, something dot org. it's very long.
Long name.
Yeah, I'm not going to even try to. Oh, Smith, there we go. Okay, so the .edo.gov.tr subsidiary CA was then used to issue a fraudulent digital certificate to .google.com. That's what Microsoft said on their blog post, and they said this fraudulent certificate could be used to spoof content, perform phishing attacks, or perform man-in-the-middle attacks against several Google web properties. You know, it took you almost, wow, a year and a half nearly to catch this.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous, Google. And it makes me wonder when I have all these 50 million, you know, I have one Chrome window open. It looks like I have 25. Let's just check that out, shall we? See, now I have four Chrome windows open, and I have, yep, eight instances of Chrome running.
Interesting. That's not good. You know, we need, like,
no,
music.
No, I stand corrected. 12.
12. Oh, 12. Crap. That's so good.
Yeah. We
need music for when we've got rumors to talk about.
Is it zombies?
No. But it is about the Xbox 720.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. I'm pulling this from the Yahoo News tech section in the gaming forum. Did Microsoft just announce the next Xbox with a countdown? Probably.
We'll give them
go
music.
Countdown.
Here we go. There you go.
You got some?
Yeah. We gave him a little Nancy Sinatra. Go ahead.
Oh, there we go. Go countdowns, saving marketing departments, untold piles of cash. Microsoft's Larry Herb, known by his Xbox Live handle Major Nelson, anybody who doesn't know that should really look that up, just threw one up on his blog, and it's causing precisely the sort of speculative stir that many doubtless, that the company doubtless intended. It says, Anton received a post followed by a simple flash-based timer titled Counting Down to E3 2013. So the speculation here is that that's not only for E3, but that is for the showing of Xbox 720, which I think I've been talking about now for about 2 years. 2 years. Crap, people, come on. We've been hearing it, and we know it's coming. We know they're working on it, especially after the Wii was released this year.
Yeah, they're really going to try to push it, but we're still not going to get it till you're still not going to get it till next year, no matter what.
Yeah. I'm looking at his blog, and it says counting down to E3 2013, June 11th, 2013, 157 days, 13 hours, 44 minutes, 39 seconds, and yeah, it even goes down to milliseconds. But I'm not going to try to count that for you. So
it's going too fast, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit too fast. That's awesome. So Major Nelson, tell us more. Tell us more. Just what are we going to be excited about? Because, you know, if it's not the 720, I'm going to slap you.
No, you can't slap Major Nelson. I'm sorry.
I can't slap Major Nelson?
No, you can't slap the Nelson.
Why not?
Because he's too sweet.
But if he teases me about the 720 that we have all been looking forward to, it's going to be...
I know, but he's a sweetheart. We can't slap him.
All right, well, that one was a short one, so can I do another...
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I want to tell you about Lunar Eclipse. Lunar Eclipse, asteroid shooting game. An awesome asteroid shooting game. Fly through space by destroying enemy ships and asteroids. Collect power-ups, skill upgrades to enhance your speed and shooting power. Do you have what it takes to enter Lunar Eclipse? Five initial levels. You know what? I destroy my pants are inside out. Anyways, five initial levels.
Do we want to know why your pants are inside out? Do we really want to know why is the question.
I'm so sleepy. I'm
sure.
Sleepy.
Is that what we're calling it? Wink, wink.
Get in here.
Wink, wink. That's what all the kids are calling it these days. I'm so sleepy.
anyways, you can already start preparing yourself emotionally for the boss you will face at the fifth level, because believe us, it's not for the P word that I'm not going to say here, and only the strongest will survive. Oh my God, I'm going to lose my voice. And if you do, you'll get access to what this game is really about, Lunar Eclipse. Lunar Eclipse is why you'll be getting up in the morning. Lunar Eclipse will be the thing that keeps you going, and you will love it. You'll love it like you've never loved anything before. All right. I don't think your love is going to be more, you know, than my chocolate. Anyways, power-ups and skill upgrades. 5 initial levels. Boss that is fairly difficult to destroy. Already legendary Lunar Eclipse mode. Awesome achievements. Game Center integration. Augmented reality mode. Loads of fun and adventures. Dark Side of the Moon hides a loads. Come on, who wrote this? Dark Side of the Moon hides loads of UFO adventures. Yay! All right, so they're over on Facebook, which is facebook.com/pixelpunch.co. They're not giving me a price. It's available for iPhone and Android. Oh, and there is a trailer, which I'm going to have up on new.gamingmatrix.com in just a little bit. So check it out.
All right.
Nope. Boys are like, no. Oh, that's loud. Oh, that's loud.
Me?
No, this video that I was opened up.
I was like, what did I do?
No, not you.
Well, I just want y'all to know there's somebody watching you.
Who's watching me?
Or it would have been anyway. That would be Facebook.
Maybe that's why my pants is inside out.
Facebook did it. Yep, Facebook turned your pants inside out. Sure. Blame Facebook. Well, they didn't.
I've got to blame it on somebody here.
Well, they didn't actually get to watch you because they managed to catch this early on. Venture Beaters reporting that Facebook recently fixed a bug that would have let criminals turn on a person's webcam and record them without their knowledge. According to Bloomberg, the Indian research firm XY Security found this little hole in the wall. The hole that affected both Windows and Macs, yes, you Mac people were not immune, was reported to Facebook in July and shut down soon thereafter. Facebook spokesperson Fred Woolens confirmed to Bloomberg that the bug had not affected anyone in the billion-person social network. So they say. Woolens explained the bug only could have affected those who have previously given Facebook permission to access their computer's webcam. Which, when would we have done this? Was it in part of our setup?
I didn't even realize that Facebook could do that.
Yeah, right. A criminal could, of course, then post a malicious page, which would have prompted the user to activate the webcam, which would start recording.
So you would get a pop-up that says activate.
Well, it would probably be something like a game, and it'd say, go ahead and activate your camera. Of course, now, the video could only be published if the user then went back to that page and deactivated the webcam. Yes, so once you went and tried to turn it off is when they got you. It seems like a far-fetched attack process, but companies are right to be sensitive to any matters associated with the webcam. Stealing video of a person without their consent or knowledge brings concerns to a whole new level.
Glad I was let go of my quarry.
It seems Facebook agreed, and they did pay the researchers $2,500. That's it. The social network participates in a bug bounty program similar to its competitor, Google. I didn't know they did this, actually. I learned something new today. The program allows anyone registered to poke around Facebook and find holes in the company's code or code from external programs it may use that could lead to a security incident. The idea is to catch them with white hat hackers before the black hats take advantage of the situation. You know what? I think we're just going to go ahead and start calling ourselves the white hats around here.
I know, right?
Yeah, I think I know of a security hole that somebody else told me about.
Gray because, you know, I want to be neutral.
You can't say gray on the air, Ginger. It messes it up. That's what messes the whole thing up, Ginger. You can't be gray on the air where everybody can hear.
Oh, my bad. I didn't say that, people.
After you collect the bounty, then.
Nothing. You heard nothing.
I heard
not it. Confession you were looking for.
Ooh.
So what?
Well, Ginger, seems like there's more to this rumors that you
got
with Xbox. Uh-huh.
Okay, what you got?
Well, this is kind of, sort of, but not really with 720, but this says a lot to me. It's kind of a small little blurb here, but they're soon saying they're going to allow you to transfer your Xbox Live accounts between regions. Mm-hmm. Anonymous sources have told Neowen currently the process, you can do this already, but the process can take up to 6 weeks. During which you are completely locked out of your account. So if you decide to move from here to China, no, you got to wait 6 weeks, which is horrible. Okay, now
why did you move to China, people?
Well, I know a couple of gamers moved to China. Hello, Kiki moved to China or Japan, somewhere over in that region. We'll talk later. The pilot program. This is a pilot program, and it only allows holders to migrate your account once every 3 months. So you can't just be flying all over willy-nilly, moving your account everywhere. Your gamer tag, achievements, gold subscription time, and Microsoft points will also move with the migration. Ooh, this is kind of scary. Certain services are region-locked, meaning apps related to those services won't transfer over. So your Love Film app, or your Netflix if you're from here, will not be coming with you. Neowen also states that the new Xbox music subscriptions will not survive the transition, and the remaining time will not be refunded. So make sure you use it up before you go and download them, get them off the Xbox. There is currently no word on when they're going to be launching this new process, but I'm sure a lot of you will be happy. So they're doing a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty much guessing, or I hope, that before they release the 720, they will have fixed this. I don't know why you can't take your stuff with you.
Can't hear me because I'm all muted. Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize that they had regions. I guess I did because, you know, we hear about EA mm-hmm. or EU and North America. But, you know, I kind of assumed we were all playing together in that.
Well, you are to a degree. You are to a degree, but I think they have like a certain content. You know how they say, mm-hmm. well, this is not suitable for us over here. You Americans are violent and bloody, so we don't have that in our version of the game.
That's true. Because isn't it something like Japan, they don't have red blood, they have green blood in all the games.
Which makes no sense to me. while I understand to a degree mm-hmm. why they don't want you transferring it, because a lot of people still do it. You really can't. There's no way of completely 100% combating this, but you could take your games over. People from Europe usually will have someone over here buy them an Xbox so they can get games that are unavailable. But I look at it this way, why don't you just let them have it? You know, I know that the government, you know what, we got a long way to go is what we got. We have to get the governments to understand that just let people buy what they want, and if, you know, you're not going to stop them from killing each other because they bought a game or whatever have you, let them buy whatever it is that they want, and, you know, here, sign a disclaimer or whatever it is they have to sign that says if they do such and such, you know, the company's not at fault, and just let it go. All this is too much to keep up with for me. Now I'm mad because, you know, what if I decide to go to Paris? I can't take my Xbox Live with me, really?
Yeah, I'd be a little bit irritated. What about, like, these stars and whatnot that travel back and forth across the globe? I mean, I know some of them. Mila Kunis. She's a big gamer. I'd be hot if I can take my Xbox with me.
I didn't know Mila was a gamer.
Oh, God, yeah. She did an interview a while back with, I can't remember what the guy's name was, but she's a big gamer. She's Xbox and PC. She plays WoW, or did.
Yeah, you can't tell anybody you play WoW and you're Mila Kunis because, yeah, that would be bad.
See, that's the deal. She was talking about how she played, and she, you know, we all use Vent playing MMOs usually. Mm-hmm. And so she tried to use Vent once, and immediately somebody recognized her voice. So she said that was the last time she used voice.
She didn't know. Somebody's going to catch on. Hey, you know, you sound just like Mila. Hey.
Cool. You know what? Thanks. I think that's really cool. You know, if you need to do an impression, and that would have been it, you know?
that's fine until they say, hey, we're going to be on cam. The guild is going to be talking. We're gonna be, and then they see you.
I don't have a cam. My parents don't allow that.
You could be right. She may have wanted to be recognized just to see if she could get away with it.
I know, right?
And then it was trouble, of course, once it did happen.
Because there's some big porn star who also plays WoW, and I can't think of who her name is right now.
There, we have a lot of them floating around. This is why I also tell people, you are, and not just for the sake of losing your account, but there may be a, you know, celebrity that you actually like, mm-hmm. and you never know who you're playing with. Maybe if you're nice and this person gets to be friends with you in-game, maybe. You know, you never know. Christmas, you might open the door and Mila Kunis is standing there. Like, you know, you've been such a good friend to me.
I know. Exactly.
I thought I'd bring you 5 Xboxes for your family because you've just been so sweet to me. Thank you. You just never know.
That's amazing. And didn't she, like, get voted the world's sexiest woman this year or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or last year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And that probably makes her all the more sexy to you guys out there because she's a gamer. That means she wants you, though, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She may want your games, but not you.
not you. All right, so Edna and Harvey, the Breakout iPad demo version for the curious. The iPad version of Edna and Harvey, the Breakout, is now available in the App Store. The players aid Edna in escaping her padded cell. padded cell. As well as guiding her first steps through the asylum, thus everyone may take a peek at the game and join Edna on her adventure. There is a link, and I will be tweeting that out in a little bit. Players are able to enjoy the wacky adventures with Edna and her stuffed bunny, Harvey. Always stuffed bunny. Classic points and click controls have been adapted to iPad touchscreen and are more convenient than ever. The legendary humor and lovely comic style are preserved, as well as the tricky puzzles on Edna's way to freedom. Young Edna awakes without any memory of her past inside a padded cell of an asylum. She doesn't have the slightest idea how she got there, but one thing is sure, she wants to break out. After all, she feels perfectly sane, and her stuffed bunny Harvey, who wholeheartedly agrees. Together, they think making their daring escape and meeting the most bizarre inmates, from the man in the bumblebee costume to the sweato-Siamese twins Hottie and Motty, but Dr. Marcel, the asylum's head psychologist, moves heaven and earth to stop Edna's breakout. How is he involved, and why was her memory erased? Bit by bit, Edna regains her memory from her life before her stay in the cell. Awesome. Bizarre characters featuring Edna and her talking rabbit Harvey. They guarantee over 20 hours of unmatched wacky humor. Atmosphere enthralls players through comical characters and ludicrous dialogues. Unlockable achievements, English voiceover, and Facebook integration offer deluxe lunacy. You know, they just said English voiceover, so I'm a little bit curious about this game now. Yeah, where was it made and what language was it in originally? Oh, something that I can't read. Kind of looks like German, I think. Maybe?
Oh, I cannot help you.
I don't know. Beatrebong.
I cannot help you.
I don't know.
I cannot help you.
I don't know.
All right. If you're watching on Twitter, I just posted this up. Actually, this is kind of an exclusive to us. Some of you may already know this, or people who play The Sims know this already. Remember, you know, we have the whole EA Valve battle going on last year. Yeah, and some of you were wondering how that's going to play out. How does that affect me as a gamer? Well, This is where we got the exclusive story. Last night,
GLaDOS let go of my Corey.
She's going to let me go. She loves me. Last night, while sitting with my lovely cousin, she realizes that she missed the Origin sale on The Sims. So we promptly go over to the Steam store, where it's still on sale, and realize that she cannot download the expansion pack. Now, a lot of you are saying, well, of course not. Ah, but therein lies the issue. The Sims belongs to EA. If you can't download the copy, why is Steam selling it? So, in further investigation, we contacted both sides of the fence to ask them, how exactly does this work? So, those of you who are still planning on buying your Sims from Steam, you have to buy every expansion pack from here on the rest of your life, if it's attached to one base game, from Valve. Now, EA is nice enough, we found out last night, to where if you have keys, they will convert them to Origin for you and keep a digital copy in case, you know, something happens. However, it doesn't go the other way. If you buy them from Origin, you can't go over to Steam and buy even an expansion pack. It'll tell you if you didn't buy the base game from them, they don't care. You can't run your games. They don't want your money.
Wow. Oh, what's the thing about that?
This also extends to any other games that are still remnants left over at Valve. If you bought your Call of Duty and you decide later that Origin has an expansion pack on sale, you're in trouble. Or I should say the reverse. If you bought your base game at Origin and you try to go over to Steam to pick up an expansion for Call of Duty, you're in trouble. Any of the games that you know that you bought from one or the other, I'm like, this is not good for gamers. We're getting caught in the crossfire. I should be able to go buy whatever I want, wherever I want, whoever has the lowest price. And I didn't understand the I understand why EA was like, you know, fine, if you bought it at Valve, we'll honor that. We'll give you a digital copy that you can download. Now, again, don't get yourself all excited. Some of you are like, I'm going to run over to my friend's house, and we're going to flip the cost of the thing, and I'm going to buy it from Valve, and then I'm going to go over to EA, and I'm going to give him the digital copy. No, no, no. It's registered to you and your machine specifically, okay? That's what that DRM is. So that's how they keep you from, you know, sharing with all your buddies. But at the same token, they're still like, we're making our money regardless because Valve has to pay them for the licenses. But what Valve is not understanding is if you won't let these people come, you know, especially sim players are hardcore people, I'm telling you. I don't care how hardcore your Call of Duty is, whatever it is you're playing, you're not more hardcore than these sim players. I watched that last night because my cousin was up till 4 this morning trying to download a copy of Supernatural or whatever the hell
wow.
it was she bought. She is hardcore. And this was the second night in a row she was up. Not one night, second night in a row. She had not been to sleep since the night before. Yeah, she's serious business. So, and she finally found one, not on either one of them, but on Amazon, who Amazon says, we'll take everybody's money.
Wow.
Amazon's like, we don't care. So I don't understand why Valve is letting themselves miss out. You're missing out on money. Some players will buy up a whole crap load. She was going to buy like 4 expansion packs. And you do the math on even the cheapest one was $14.99. Even at $14.99, if that was the case, from Steam, that's a nice, you know, you multiply that by like 5 million people.
Yeah, that's a
lot of money
right there.
It's a good lot of money. So that's just a heads up to you gamers. And Valve, stop it. Really? you're not hurting anybody but your gamers. And even Blaster last night was stumped. We spent some time talking to Blaster, and I says, I think we got us an exclusive for tomorrow. He says, I believe we do. He says, I've never seen this before. I don't know why they wouldn't let you buy an expansion pack if you don't have the base game. So you have to.
Yeah, usually, I mean, World of Warcraft, I guess you can buy the expansion pack. But if you don't have the base, then you can't play it.
You can't play it anyway. So it shouldn't matter. They won't
even install it. It goes to the installer, and the installer's like, nope, you don't have the base. Sorry.
This one says it's not even you don't have the base. It's you didn't buy your base here is what it says.
That is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe me, Populo sells over to the Steam page and look up The Sims 3, and it'll say you must have bought The Sims 3 on Steam to play this.
That's nuts. I don't like that.
Yeah, that doesn't look
good. You know people are going to see it on Steam. They're going to be like, oh, cool, I can buy it here. And they're going to buy it and totally not have read the fine print.
Well, that's what happened, because, you know, Blaster, it spoils all of us here, if y'all know why we love him so much, but he got, I don't know what he got for you, but that's what he got for me for Christmas, was a Sim stuff pack, and the concern became, this is why we were all, you know, sitting last night trying to figure out what happens, was, okay, I may not be able to play this, you may have wasted your money, and Valve does not give refunds, people.
This is true, they do not.
They will not refund you. So it was, what are we going to do? But, you know, once we talked to Origin, and I'm surprised, the devil actually said, you know, it's okay. You could still play it. You just bring your little key over here, and we'll give you what you need. You can still play with your stuff. So Valve, this does not look good. And I was actually, you know, I had actually won them a new customer sitting there with my cousin. She's like, oh, look at all these. I can get all of them. You know? I'm going to buy all of them. Look, all these. This one, this one, this one, and this one, and this one. And I'm going to get this one. Oh, what is that game you're playing? Because Tropico was on sale for like $5.
That's another reason why I refuse to get into The Sims.
Hey, you got a copy now. You got no excuse.
I know.
You can't get them from Valve, of course, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was so shocked last night. I couldn't believe, because you know Blaster speaks very highly of Steam, and I don't have anything against them. I just don't like the fact that, you know, once I bought the game, I can't sell it again. So I'll get them when they're on the sale. Like I bought Tropico 4,
mm-hmm.
And it was on sale for $5, and the expansions were 99 cents each. So
that's
a good deal. I don't feel like I lost it on my money.
You were addicted to Tropico for such a long time. Oh, my God.
I was playing last night because I had to stay up with her because she was having a conniption fit. I'm going to find this somewhere so I can play it. And we made our way over there. See, I told you, there is no...
You know, I laugh, but I totally understand. I totally understand.
Yes. There is nobody. I see you Call of Duty people. You sit out in the cold, and you're like, I'll stay out in the cold all night. No, you are not hardcore until you've been up for 2 days, and you have not moved from your chair. And it's not even that you're playing. You're trying to get a copy.
No. That's fine. No.
You know where your copy is when you're in line. You know when you walk in, you're going to get it. She's trying to find one for 2 days.
I totally admit that the last time that I stood in line to buy something like that, mm-hmm. Don't kill me, people. I was there with my little sister. She was in high school at the time. I took her to a Harry Potter thing to get a book.
Oh.
And we were there until like 3 o'clock in the morning. We'd been there since like 8 o'clock.
That's a book. That's not bad.
It was nuts. I won't do that for a game. I'll wait.
I don't think I've ever actually stood in line for a game for that long. Because, you know, that's when GameStop stopped they pretty much have, not up north, but in Texas, they don't do that. They usually tell you when you get there, hey, what are you here for? Oh, I'm here to get Call of Duty. Okay, here's a ticket. When you come in, when we open the store at midnight, because that's what they do. When you come in with your ticket, you buy yours and you go. If you don't have a ticket, you can tell other people in line. You don't have a ticket, you're not getting one. And that's the end of that. There's no fighting. There's nobody. You don't hear. You think about it. You don't hear people fighting or stealing copies of games from people down here because that's just how they are. Walmart does it the same way. Target does it the same way. We know exactly how many copies we have. We're going to give you a ticket if we have one for you because you're in line. Here's your thing. And you can go home even. Go home, come back in the morning. They're not going to sell your copy.
Yeah. And see, I live in a small town, so there's no real point in going and standing in line because I'll wake up the next morning all nice and fresh. And I'll go down to the game store, and I'll buy my copy with no line.
Well, they do that to the people who, you know, I must have it tonight.
Yeah.
And generally, like the GameStop that I used to frequent would have a second shipment that would actually come in later that morning. So if you wanted to wait even, you could probably get away with waiting. But the people who are like, I got to get home. I'm going to be playing tonight. Here's a ticket. Oh, you people back here, you're not getting one tonight. You can go home. For real. Just go home. Don't even come back. And you know from jump if you're going to get one, and there is no fighting. There is no stealing. I don't think I've ever been at one where I've seen somebody fighting, you know, or stealing somebody's game. We just don't roll like that in the South, people. We just don't do it. No point.
Mm-mm.
It's too hot
to
fight. You have a heat stroke trying to punch it. That's even at night.
Story.
It's like 80 at night in the summer. Have you ever been on one of those nights where you come outside and you're like, damn, it's too hot.
I know. And people never believe me because I was talking to some friends in SL last summer, I guess, and I was traveling to another town, and it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, and it was already 83 degrees. And they were like, it's 7 a.m. How's it 83 degrees? I was like, it's Texas.
It was 80 when we went to sleep.
I know. And by the end of the day, by noon, well, actually, see, here in Texas, noon is not the hottest hour. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon is our hottest hour.
Yes.
And it gets up in the triple digits in the summer. So, yeah.
Like I said, it's too hot. Too hot to fight.
Hot. Too hot, exactly.
It's one punch. They don't even have to punch you. You just stand there. You're looking at each other mean. Your blood pressure, you know, your blood pressure rises because your heart is pumping and people just pass out.
No, and our fighting is sitting underneath a shade tree playing dominoes or bones.
Yes.
So.
I like that. did you just solidify your southernness in my mind? Because only a southerner calls them that, bones.
Well, I grew up calling them bones.
Oh, wait, and you forgot this part. Domino! And that's not what, there's another word that comes after that we can't say during the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Or have you played the other one, Chickenfoot?
Girl, I can't play any dominoes.
Yeah. Well, it's like dominoes. It is like dominoes, but it's not. It's got more dots on it.
I understand the concept of, but because my relatives are so southern, and they would get this was not a playful thing. This was a serious competition. Okay, there was no fighting, but there might be some beers or something knocked over on the table, and there was a lot of yelling back and forth across the table, and your mama this and this type of stuff. So no, the kids were not allowed. So I never picked up the domino playing skill because we were not allowed in the room. That spades. I just remember my mother looking at me one time going, "You need to leave because I cannot speak the way I need to speak right now." Because this
wow,
this SOB here is going down. You need to leave the room.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I get my trash talk from, by the way.
Well, speaking of trash, a 5-year-old finds porn on refurbished Nintendo 3DS from GameStop.
Did we not call it? This is the third time.
This happens every Christmas, too. All right, so 5-year-old Brandon Giles must have been excited to receive a Nintendo 3DS for Christmas. At least he was until he turned it on. According to 9 News, Giles' father bought a refurbished 3DS from GameStop in Colorado for his son. However, when his son turned it on and started poking around, he found 9 pornographic images of 2 people in a bed and asked his brother to help him erase them. That's when the father gave GameStop a call. GameStop's response was that the images were most likely left over from its previous owner, and an employee had failed to properly wipe the data on the 3DS before restocking it. They said, "We have a rigorous quality control process in place to ensure that existing content is removed from all devices before they are resold." out of millions of transactions each year, one like this happened very rarely. Our number one priority is to make this right for our customers. The funniest line out of this whole thing, what the writer says, the bigger question that many people are asking is, why would anyone take pornographic photos with the 3DS's terrible low-res cameras? We may never know the answer.
We all know that no porn does not have to be high-res. We all know this since its inception.
True story.
They don't really care.
Is that your only camera? I mean, come on. Every cell phone I see nowadays has a camera.
Yeah, but you know, but they don't care. But they don't care. But you know how to stop this? When people are returning their 3DS, GameStop, you tell them, we're going to take your credit card number. You can either bring us the 3DS completely wiped, but if anybody calls us and says that they find porn, we're going to levy a $25 fee against your credit card.
I like that. I like that idea.
I'm telling you, you will get 3DSs back in pristine condition, pristine, and have them sign a waiver.
I mean, but his employees are supposed to wipe this, though. I mean,
well, he was, but I'm saying that would be a two-step. The customer's going to give it to us, and we say, if we find porn, when my guys go to wipe it to check and make sure that it's clean, if we find anything on there, we're going to charge you $25. And have them tell them you got to bring it in already clean. We're just going to be checking, but if we find it.
It reminds me of a blog I used to read about a guy who worked at a porn store.
Ew.
Anyway.
Ew.
Yeah, sorry.
Ew, Ginger, ew. Why do you do it? Why?
It's because I have to. I have to.
No, you don't. That's just wrong.
I have to.
That's just wrong. Okay, so it's my turn. Okay, apparently my story decided to disappear. I can't breathe and everything.
Well, if you want.
Well,
I can do another one.
Well, no, I got one. Speaking of IE and how it's supposed to be so wonderful, Ginger, you may want to pay very close attention. You people out there with IE, Microsoft found a hole. This is actually 3 days ago, 3 days late. I don't have Internet Explorer, so we kind of overlooked that. I think I saw it.
Remember your shame, IE.
Mm-hmm. They announced over the weekend that it's fixing a vulnerability. Well, we weren't here except yesterday, so we only had so much time. But they said that they're fixing a vulnerability in their Internet Explorer browser that could allow hackers to take over your PC. They came out all kinds of wrong, didn't it? Sounds like something else. Okay, so they said an attacker who successfully exploited this vulnerability could gain the same user rights as the current user. Users whose accounts are configured to have fewer user rights on the system could be less impacted than users who operate with admin user rights. On the 31st, Microsoft said that it has completely closed the vulnerability, and users can now administer the fix to their own browsers. It will not require people to reboot their browsers. Now, the exploit only affects those Windows PC owners who are running IE 6, 7, or 8 and takes advantage of Adobe Flash to generate a heap and spray attack against Internet Explorer version 8.0. According to security researchers at FireEye, a heap spray attack helps hackers insert their malicious code on a system, but it must be paired with an existing security hole, such as the one that was in IE, that gives them a point of entry. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, victims are hit with the attack when they visit a website that is sometimes unknowingly hosting malicious code. In this case, a number of security firms, including FireEye and Alien Vault, note that Council on Foreign Relations website was being used to infect anyone who visited it. FireEye says that it first heard the CFR website was compromised on the 27th, but according to its researchers, the site could have been infected as early as the 21st. Computer World further explains that hackers are able to look at a specific group of people or individuals and target the attack to them by watching what websites they frequent. Whether the criminals wanted to attack specific people who are interested in the CFR is unknown. Microsoft said it's currently working on a fix and urges people to update their browsers to the most recent version of IE. Keeping your systems up to date is one of the security restrictions for 2013. You can also use Qualys Browser Checker to make sure any plugins in your browsers are up to date. And they also say that they're currently working, depending on your customer needs, the fix may come in a regular batch of IE updates or a separate emergency patch. And I want to know how come they're not mentioning Mac users in this, because they do have Internet Explorer for Mac. Is there no security hole in there? Should they be worried? You didn't mention at all whether they should or shouldn't be worried or not.
That is interesting. I don't know.
You know, Mac people already think they're invincible. This could be just the bad thing that happened.
You're not invincible, people. Stop thinking that.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how many times a day I hear that. Well, I have a Mac. I can't get a virus. Oh, yeah.
A bull crap.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Wikipedia users. This is why you do not use Wikipedia for any sort of homework ever.
Not homework, but it is entertaining to read.
It is, it is, it is, very. But it's often fictional. War is over. Imaginary Bickleham conflict page removed from Wikipedia after 5 years. A 17th century international conflict has finally been laid to rest nearly 400 years after it never happened. Yeah. All right, so a fascinating news story in the Daily Dot chronicles how for more than 5 years, rogue editors on Wikipedia perpetuated a hoax about the Bickleham conflict, a purely fictional historical event. Before its eventual deletion, the 4,500-word page read in part, from 1640 to 1641, the might of colonial Portugal clashed with India's massive Maratha Empire in an undeclared war that would later be known as the Bickleham conflict, named after the northern Indian region where most of the fighting took place. Amazingly, the article was even nominated for the site's featured article of the day, which is a wiki staple that highlights some of the site's best researched and written articles.
How does it get to be best if it wasn't, apparently it was not researched?
I know, right? The actual writer of the Wikipedia article is still unknown, but members of the Wikipedia community have narrowed it down to at least one suspect. Unfortunately, hoaxes on Wikipedia are nothing new. And the craftier they are, the more difficult it is to catch them, says William Butler, president of Butler Wiki Relations, a Wikipedia consulting firm. Anyone who's clever enough to make up convincing sources and motivated enough to spend the time and skilled enough to write a plausible article can deceive the whole internet, at least for a while. That's just nuts. To his credit, Wikipedia has its own page devoted to Wikipedia hoaxes. Wow, 4,500 words. That's just
crazy.
Wow, all about a fake war. I don't want to think about that.
Did we talk about Sony and their new ID thing yesterday?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, well, there was an application apparently that was unearthed yesterday in NeoGAF and the forums. Reveals that Sony is planning to implement technology, also via game politics as well as thrown in here in the mix. They're going to implement technology to deal with the use of used games on more than one console. It was rumored before that Sony had plans to deal with used games on its next-gen console, currently referred to as the PlayStation 4 or Orbis. Orbis. This new patent certainly seems to be a step closer to making it so that a new game will be tied to the first console it is used on. The patent describes the use of an RFID stamped onto new disc that would be used expressly for tracking their usage history and restricting further use to one console. This could be also the death of Gamefly, Redbox, and even Blockbuster if they do this. Keep in mind, if a disc is tied to one console, you can't rent it.
You can't rent it?
How would you rent it? It's tied to one console, which means it wouldn't play. So here's the abstract description. A game playing system includes a use permission tag provided for use in a game disc for a user of a game, a disc drive, and a reproduction device for reproducing the game. The disc drive reads out the disc ID from the game disc. When the game is to be played, the reproduction disc conveys the disc ID and the player ID to the use permission tag. The use permission tag stores the terms of use of the game and determines whether a combination of the disc ID and player ID conveyed from the reproduction device fills the terms or not. And the patent application number is rather long, but it's called the Electronic Content Processing System and the Electronic Content Processing Method and Package of Electronic Content and Use Permission Apparatus. Again, if it's tied to one console, how exactly are you going to allow these companies to rent games out? There are three companies we could potentially lose if they do this and then the other companies follow suit. Well, Nintendo is going to reap great rewards from this, of course.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how could you rent it if it's tied? Are they going to create special ones for that? And then that's going to create it. Man, I could see the offshoots here. If they do that and they say, okay, well, we'll give special ones to these companies, then people are going to start stealing those games or trying to make reproductions. They're about to open up a whole new can of pirate worms that they don't even see coming. Sony.
Pirate worms?
Pirate worms, that's what I'm going to call them.
Oh, my God, pirate worms. All right. All right, so this new study for video games out. Oh, my God, imagine that, right? Well, at least this one's not studying violence. And I'm going to lose my voice. Video games fail to stoke kids' appetite for fruit. Imagine that. healthy food advertising in the form of online games doesn't make kids crave more wholesome snacks, according to a new study from the Netherlands. Researchers expected children to choose to eat fruit after playing games promoting fruit, given that previous research has shown so-called advert games to be effective marketing tools. In fact, kids in the experiment did eat more snacks after playing, but no more fruit than their peers. I think the game elicits hunger, and children like high-calorie snacks more than fruit snacks, so they chose the high-calorie snacks. This was coming from the study's leader, author Franz Folkvord. Anyways, Frank Smith from now on. Based on this group's results, Mr. Smith added parents should be cautious because the effect of such online games, even if they think they are to promote healthy eating. Children are not aware of the intentions of the marketers, says Mr. Smith, a graduate student at the University of Amsterdam. Parents have to teach their children to be skeptical about those games. The association between having fun and seeing the product is designed to get you to influence your view of the product, says Sandra Calvert, a professor at Georgetown University, who was not involved in the Dutch study. Popular fast food chains and cereal and juice drink brands, to name a few, have online games tailored for the kids on their websites, including McDonald's, Cap'n Crunch cereal, and Juicy Juice. To see if such marketing could work in favor of healthy foods, Mr. Smith and his colleagues presented video memory games to 201 elementary school students. The kids are split into three groups, one that played a game promoting candy, another that played a game promoting fruit, and a third whose game promoted a non-food toy. Another 69 children did not play any games. After 5 minutes of gaming, the kids were allowed to have a snack, which could be chosen from two bowls of candy and two bowls of fruit. The researchers found that the kids who played either of the games marketing food ended up eating more calories than the kids who played the game that promoted a toy or who didn't play a game at all. For instance, the kids who played the candy game ate 202 calories afterward, and those who played the fruit game ate 183. Not that big of a difference. In comparison, the kids who played the toy promoting game ate 130 calories of the snacks, and kids who didn't play at all ate 106 calories. All right, so this is boring, and it goes on. But pretty much, these kind of games don't work for kids. They just make them hungry. And kids will always, at least almost always, choose candy over the fruit. Imagine that, a kid who wants candy.
Well, there's a way to combat that.
How's that?
You don't give them the candy. I didn't have those issues with Baby Natrix up until probably she was five. She didn't know what candy was. No idea. I never let her have it. Told other people don't give it to her. Don't give her lollipops. At school, I think they were going through this whole fruit thing. So instead of giving them, you know, candy for doing good things, they were giving them oranges and apples. So we had no issues. You know those kids that scream at the counter and they fall on the floor? She would just walk past it.
Those kids. There's a really, really, really quick fix for that, parents. Swat to the bottom.
There you go.
Don't beat them, just a good swat to the bottom.
But you can't use it all the time. That's a last resort.
Yeah.
But I never had her scream.
I remember the first and only time I ever threw a fit like that.
I never did.
My mom picked me up, swatted me on the backside, and set me back down. That was it. And I was like, all right, I don't want to do this again.
Well, my mother had lovely long nails like I have. And you hear this? This is not a pin. That's my nails. So my mother had these nails and would put them in the back of my neck if I started to get a little out of hand. But ooh. I didn't even get a swat. It would just, she'd grab me right back there. Now, Baby Natrix, the only time I think by the time she was 4 or 5, when she realized what candy was, then we had a rule. If you can read the ingredients, you can have it.
Nice.
Or if you can read the name on the wrapper, you can have it. And so then she would negotiate and say, well, can I say this? Can I read this part? No, you read that last time. I need you to say hydrogen triglyceride. I need you to say it.
Wow.
So we had no problems.
At least the pronunciation has to be amazing.
Yeah. Well, you've heard her speak. So
yeah,
you know
she's very intelligent.
Amazing vocabulary. But we never had those issues. I used to have parents say, how do you get her to not cream at the counter, you know, when we're standing there. I'm like, because we've already taken care of this. You got to start when they're, you know, before. You don't do it after. You started too late. All right, we got 4 minutes. I'm going to throw this one in because I thought this is a hilarious story from our new friends over at Tech Dirt. An app developer hijacked their customers' Twitter accounts to attempt to shame the pirates. And he created a hashtag for them. So if you search the Twitter for the hashtag, it's called hashtag software pirate confession. You'll find a whole stream of tweets that state, how about we all stop using pirated iOS games? I promise to stop. I really will. And then there's dozens of them in the past few days alone. It turns out that On4, who's the maker of a variety of dictionary apps, is auto-posting tweets to users' accounts to shame them for being pirates. So if you stole a game, they barge your account.
Wow.
Of course, now the bad part is that it's also getting on some of the people who actually paid for it, not just those who actually stole it. One explanation posted on how they were able to do this is that there's a common tool used by people who jailbreak their iPhones and still want apps from the Apple App Store called Instalus. N4's apps were detecting this, and then upon using the app and gaining permission to access a user's Twitter account, they posted the apology. Now, others are saying it's occurring on phones that are not jailbroken, so they got a little out of hand. Either way, these are people that paid for the app, not the pirates. But I think it's hilarious. That, you know, they managed to get some of them. Of course, there's some lawsuits now.
Well, lawsuits? No. There's never be lawsuits.
Yeah. So, but I think it's hilarious that, you know, if it had worked out well, it's hilarious. And I see this happening probably a lot in the future.
Wow.
And I don't like some of the comments that are up on Tech Dirt. One of them is saying, I will pirate your app in a heartbeat. That is exactly why people no longer respect copyright. And people no longer respect copyright because they never did, and it's easy to sit behind the computer and steal. It really is. And I will tell you, we say this all
you
the
know,
time here.
People have been stealing music and movies for years and years before.
Yeah. But the thing to remember is if you don't do it just because you're being a so-and-so. We tell you here, we have been known here to take a few things that I always go back and buy, especially if it's I like it. I will tell you, Tropico was one of those. That's why I own a copy now because I liked it. So I always do that. And good hackers will actually put it in there. Go support the developer because if you don't, you won't play this anymore. You won't hear this music anymore or this music. You have to go buy it. Don't just be stealing just to be stealing. Some of you are just wrong.
Yes.
All right. It's time for us to go, believe it or not.
It is. I'm over here yawning. I'm going to fall asleep.
I know. I'm going to sleep after Joe. So I find something to eat. I'm going to go forage for food in my front yard because that's what gamers do. Since the games are such an influence on us, that's what we do. You know, when you play in games, you forage for food.
You know, my neighbors have some chickens. Maybe they have some zombie chickens. We can, like, go kill some mutated chickens.
I showed up to Baby Matrix yesterday, and she said, oh, my God, what year is that? At 2153, darling.
That's awesome. I love her. She's so adorable.
We will be dust. Look, we'll be dust in the wind. We won't have to worry about these mutated chickens.
True story. I'm a little bit sad. I wouldn't mind going up against one of those mutated chickens.
Not in the real world, I wouldn't. You know, they poison you when they bite.
She's got cool guns.
Those are pellet guns. You do know those are pellet guns. You know that we won't be able to find 2x4s.
Well, pieces of metal.
Rocks.
Scraps of concrete.
There you go. With the piece that has the metal in it, the rebar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Make a great weapon in 2153.
I'm going to be gone. I don't want to be here. I don't want no mutated spray chick. I just don't.
You know, I'm with Baby Matrix. Man, I was expecting more from this whole end of the world and the zombie apocalypse, and then nothing happened.
Well, nobody said it wasn't happening. It just didn't happen this time. I'm still ready. My wrench is still on my desk, just in case something pops off. All right, Ginger, give them their kisses. We got to go.